Pop music is a very good thing.
Funk, rock, Peter Gabriel singing in German, soul, old school rap, ABBA singing in Spanish, glam, hair metal, Milli Vanilli singing in English, and of course, disco.
Disco is the pop music of tomorrow.
It's all pop, and it's only on crap from the past.
It's not rap music, it's crap music.
And to those commercial stations that play Come On Eileen over and over and tell you it's a retro show, I say this. There's a lot of crap on the radio, but there's only one crap from the past.
It's craptacular.
Sunday nights at midnight, only on KFAI.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Hi there. You're listening to Fresh Air Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106.7 FM St. Paul. This is too silly. I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber, and for the next 2 hours, you will be experiencing crap from the past. Some crappy songs you haven't heard on the radio in a long time, and it's all pop music. Something you'd like to hear along the way, 612-341-0980. I have no particular agenda this week, although one tiny thing I want to get to. I guess MTV first went on the air August 1st, 1981. That would be about, 18 years ago today? Tomorrow? Yesterday? Wait a minute, that just changed days. It's Midnight Toes. 18 years ago yesterday. So I'll be playing that Buggles tune that you like, and a different version of that Buggles tune that you've probably never heard before. All sorts of cool stuff. Let's see, what else did I want to say? No, not much. Let me rush through the rest of my theme music here. Now, you've heard this before. I don't need to play it for you. Again, I'll start you with a song from late 1988. It's the Time Lords. They were later known as the KLF and the Justified Ancients of Moo Moo. Here's Doctor in the TARDIS on Crap from the Past.
Boogie Monster Gerber.
Ooh, I hear this really sucks.
On Crap from the Past.
Microphone on, Cliff Richard, 1979, and We Don't Talk Anymore. Still a fine record after all these years, and one that doesn't get as much play as it should on those oldies stations. That was about 3 years after Devil Woman, which was the huge hit that broke him here in the States, even though he'd been having hits in England for about 20 years before that. We Don't Talk Anymore. Hi, I've been getting a barrage of phone calls, and I must thank everybody in advance. I already got a couple of requests that I can fill, and I want more, because I am greedy. 612-341-0980. I apologize if it's long distance, but kind of doubt that it's long distance because our transmitter only puts out 8 watts. I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber, and this is Crap from the Past here on KFAI, and rumor has it that Danger Man will be coming down to the station, and I will actually get to meet Danger Man. This will be wonderful. We'll put him here. He'll sit in with me on the air. We'll play stuff back and forth. It'll be good, but coming up really soon, Danger Man, and that makes me very, very happy. So I figured at this very second, Danger Man's in his car, driving maybe 200-300 miles an hour to get here. So I figured as long as he's driving fast, I would play you this dopey record. On the label, it's credited to Piero Umiliani. I have no idea who the guy is, frankly, and it says from the movie Sweden, Heaven, and Hell. If you look up the movie in one of them books, it's not there, so I don't even know if the movie was released or if it's from a soundtrack or what. Turned up on the Muppets, turned up on Benny Hill. was a very small hit here, slightly bigger hit in England. Here's Piero Umiliani and Menomina on Crap from the Past.
Gerber.
What we're gonna do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
Back to a time that we never think of as being cool.
On Crap from the Past.
Give me your heart, give me, give me your heart.
There's a certain category of song that qualifies as dumb but fun. And Ottawan certainly falls into that category. That was Hands Up, big British hit in 1981 for Ottawan. They also had another song that sounded just like it called D-I-S-C-O. I want to say Ottawan is from Canada, from the province of Ottawa. And in fact, I think they're from like Bulgaria or Brazil or somewhere that's not Canada. So I don't want to write that down. If you've got your Joel Whitburn book in front of you, you can look it up for yourself. So I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber, and this is Crap from the Past here on KFAI. I'm in a good mood. I'm in a very good mood because I just got another call from Danger Man, and Danger Man is on his way in here. He's going to actually be sitting in with me whenever he actually gets into the studio. So I'm guessing within the next half hour or so, it's going to be me and Danger Man in the same place at the same time. I know there was considerable debate as to whether we were one and the same, since we've never been seen in the same place at the same time, and hopefully this will clear things up. So I queued up a song here by two groups. Actually, I'm looking for a song, one particular song by one of them. Two groups are Earth, Wind, and Fire and The Emotions. They got together, they were both recording for CBS Records at the time. They got together in 1979 and recorded a terrific song called Boogie Wonderland, which features Philip Bailey singing way beyond his range. It's way too high for the guy. And the same with all the women from The Emotions. They're singing too high. And although the song works quite well. But there's one particular song I'm looking for by The Emotions. It's an album track. I can't remember what album it's from. I think it's from 1977, and it's called Blind Alley. If you've got any Emotions albums lying around, look through them now while the song is playing. I'd appreciate it. And if you have the song Blind Alley, give me a call. I've scoured the whole country for this. It's not a very uncommon song. It's just a typical album track from one of the popular albums from The Emotions, and no store has it. Ever. Never seen the darn thing, ever. So if you've got Blind Alley by The Emotions, give me a call. Otherwise, give me a call. 612-341-0980. This is Crap from the Past. can't sleep? Well, neither can we. Tune into Overnight starting at 2 a.m. on KFAI.
Ron Boogie Monster Gerber.
Consider the deep sea sandwich at White Castle. The name merely implies that it is a fish product.
On Crap from the Past.
Can I ever live without you, girl? Get back on my feet again. Now I'm lost in your world. When there's no simple way to let you go, you've been such a part of me. And though you choose to walk a separate road, I still believe in you. So come to your heart in the calling to you. Oh, come to your heart, I've been calling to your heart. Distant voices in the silent night call to a memory. Someone touched me but it don't be right. It's only you.
That wanted to be it's not over yet. Done yet? There we go. Band that desperately wanted to be Journey. And there weren't very many of them. It's Greg Giuffria and his band named after himself, Giuffria. Greg Giuffria, I believe, was a member of Angel in the 70s, had no big hits with Angel, only had one hit with Giuffria, and it was right there from 1985, Call to the Heart. Hi, it's Ron Boogie Monster Gerber, and this is Crap from the Past here on KFAI. I've been totally overwhelmed with requests at 612-341-0980, and I must thank everybody individually who's called. I can't do that. Hopefully I thanked you on the phone, because I can't do it right here. Too many people. And it's very reassuring, actually, and I got to thank you because it lets me know that somebody's listening. I often wonder, is anybody listening? Because it is, you know, midnight in the Twin Cities on a little tiny radio station, and people are listening, and thank you very much for calling in. So, what do I have here? Oh, yeah, it coincides nicely, and I will pick this as the god-awful medley of the week. I had something else in mind, but I got a request for this, and it fits perfectly with the god-awful medley of the week. Andy, who's listening tonight, wanted to hear Pump Up the Volume from Mars, M-A-R-R-S, a studio creation that only recorded two songs. Pump Up the Volume, and the other side of Pump Up the Volume, which I'm not going to play for you here. It's an interesting thing in that most of the song, well, the entire song is sampled from other songs, which was cool back then. Now it's not so cool, but in 1987, when this thing came out, it was pretty revolutionary. And very danceable, might I add. But they had a problem licensing some of the songs here in the States, so they replaced some of the original British samples with some different samples here in the States. So there were two versions of the song floating around, because for legal reasons they couldn't use some songs in some parts of the world. So there's a British version and an American version. If I were to play the American version for you, the first sample you would hear would go something like, this one goes, all you in the Bronx... All you homeboys out in the Bronx, this one's for you. Something along those lines. That was replacing a Wolfman Jack sample. And there were a bunch of others in the song. So if you're a big fan of Mars and you know the song inside and out, pay careful attention, because I'm going to play the British version of the song right here for you. From 1987, it qualifies as the god-awful medley of the week on Crap from the Past.
Thank you. on the record when the drum beats go like this. Pump up the volume, dance.
Boogie Monster Gerber.
I'm your boogeyman.
On Crap from the Past.
She had silky smile. She took a standard pose and she presented herself. She had sultry eyes. She made it perfectly plain that she was his for a price. But he said, leave me alone. I'm a family man and my bike is much worse than my bite. He said, leave me alone. I'm a family man. If you push just my
Mike Oldfield. Yep, you recognize this song because Hall & Oates had a big hit with it. It's Family Man, and Hall & Oates' hit was from 83. That's the original version of the song from 1982, written by Mike Oldfield, and it's credited to Mike Oldfield, but the vocals you just heard were sung by Sally Oldfield. Nice curio in that Hall & Oates recorded very few songs that weren't their own, and that was one of them. Family Man. I feel pretty good about myself. I got a call earlier on who wanted to hear How Does It Feel to Be Back, which I don't have with me because John Oates is doing the vocals on that. So I thought I'd play you the original version of Family Man, where John Oates is nowhere to be found at all. And in keeping in line with the songs he didn't even realize were remakes, I got a call from Bob who wanted to hear some Marshall Crenshaw. So I thought, oh, perfect time to haul out this obscurity. Someday, Someway is the big hit. If you ask 9 out of 10 people if they've ever heard of Marshall Crenshaw, they can name Someday, Someway as one of his songs. It's a terrific tune, an extraordinary pop tune, and was a small hit for him in 1982, 83, something like that. It was the breakthrough hit, I would say, for him, and the first single he released on a big label. What not a lot of people realize is that, yes, Marshall Crenshaw wrote it, but he wasn't the first person to record it. He had Marshall Crenshaw, after he released an independent single, was shopping around his songs and decided to give one of his songs to a rockabilly guy named Robert Gordon. Robert Gordon is not the most talented of recording artists, and he pretty much butchered the song. Instead of having the swinging sound that Marshall Crenshaw got, well, Robert Gordon released the single. It did okay, hit the bottom of the charts. I think it got as high as number 76. Marshall Crenshaw then re-recorded his own version of the song, which was much, much better. It had a much bigger hit with it. And then Marshall Crenshaw went on to be, you know, Marshall Crenshaw, like a very cool guy, and recorded a lot of swinging stuff over the course of his career. Robert Gordon, however, is not really swinging, and he didn't really know what to make of the song. Whereas Marshall Crenshaw's version had plenty of swing to it, I would sort of say the Robert Gordon original version of Someday, Someway was sort of like dancing without bending your knees. He plowed through it at breakneck speed and really didn't know what to make of it. So I doubt that you've ever heard it. So, with no further ado, the original version of Someday, Someway, written by Marshall Crenshaw but recorded by Robert Gordon in 1981. And here it is on Crap from the Past.
Monster Gerber.
Do you like pina colonic and getting caught in the rain?
On Crap from the Past.
Used to be that
Sounds sort of familiar to you, but you don't know that version of the song. Eddie Money had a big hit with I Wanna Go Back in 1987, and what you just heard there was the original version as done by the group Billy Satellite. Nothing mysterious about Billy Satellite. They had a... Ooh, something's wrong with my headphones here. Billy Satellite had a recording contract of their own, released a pretty good-sized album in 1984 on Capitol Records. The thing went nowhere, Billy Satellite broke up, and somehow Eddie Money knew that particular song. I don't get it. So, you just heard that. I'm on a roll now. I'm just playing obscurities left and right. And who should wander into the studio but Danger Man himself?
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. We're here together.
At last.
I've never met Danger Man. I hadn't heard a copy of the show when you were on here.
I think it's only appropriate that on the eve that MTV was launched, you and I meet.
a scant 18 years later.
That's right.
By coincidence or design, you are here. Did you bring stuff?
I brought stuff. I brought a whole bag of stuff. I just grabbed it on my way out the door. Oh, it was the stuff I had laying around.
And I noticed you brought in some cookies.
That's right. That's from our other, Secret Agent Carla is what we call her on our show.
Secret Agent. Agent Carla, it's nice to meet you as well, even though you probably won't be saying anything tonight. Thank you for the cookies. No quicker way to my heart than through my stomach, because they're right next to each other there. And so, what I had queued up, which you had no prior knowledge of, was a Black Box song. Black Box, an Italian creation from 1990 or so, featuring the vocal stylings of Martha Wash, one of my favorite dance vocalists.
I was almost going to bring in a Black Box single.
Really?
I don't know anybody else. The original Italian single of that.
Really? I have foregone that with a remix of Open Your Eyes, which totally kicked butt. I first heard this song in First Avenue many, many years ago. The 12-inch. The album version is so-so, but the 12-inch kicks butt, and that's what I'm going to play for you right here. From 1990, Open Your Eyes by Black Box, featuring the vocal stylings of Miss Martha Wash on Crap from the Past.
We'll be right back. Ron Boogie Monster Gerber.
You make the sun shine brighter than Dora's day.
On Crap from the Past.
Yeah,
just
okay.
Fates, there it is.
There it is. Dollar, the group Dollar from England, and Mirror Mirror, if I'm not mistaken. Why do I keep thinking that's a different title?
I don't know. It's Mirror Mirror.
Mirror Mirror from Dollar. It's Trevor Horn's first production job, and introduced the world to Trevor Horn.
That's right.
You were talking, you said before that Trevor Horn got the ABC production job from hearing a Dollar song.
Right, from hearing Handheld in Black and White, which was one of the Dollar singles. Trevor Horn did like four singles for Dollar, and they're all great, and the rest of the Dollar stuff is utter crud. It is just garbage.
So not surprising.
Because his whole approach to it was, you know, why do they have to be an expletive pop group when they could be so much more? And so his idea was to take them and give them this incredible production. Some of the stuff on that Dollar record that he produced, it's all got this like Yes type production.
The big, huge Frankie Goes to Hollywood wall of sound stuff.
And these strange endings, like I say, like...
Keep talking.
Yeah, no problem.
Can you hand me that Tom Jones single in there?
Oh, yeah, sure. So anyway,
while we're on the subject of Trevor Horn, I may as well cue this baby up.
Yeah. So anyway, he would put like these long, elaborate, like Yes type endings and this huge, elaborate production on these Dollar songs because he really believed them to be more than just some crummy little pop group. And when he had his hands on them, they were. And they later on came out. They came out. They were a couple too. They broke up.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably more Dollar information than you'd ever want to know in your
life. No, I know nothing about Dollar, so I find it interesting.
So what happens is they're a couple, they break up in real life, The group, of course, then disintegrates. And so a few years later...
Half dollar and then half dollar. Didn't make it too well as that. Did they get back together?
They did get back together for a couple of one-off singles and then...
No more
nothing.
Dollar.
Even though the woman from Dollar, Teresa Balthazar, did a song for the movie Gotcha. She did the theme song to Gotcha.
Gotcha.
Yeah, with Anthony Edwards, now of now multi-million dollar star of ER, one of his After the Nerds movies.
Oh.
He did Gotcha.
It's one of them transitional movies to go between crap and serious. You need something
right.
in the middle.
Kind of what C. Thomas Howell's been doing for the last, you know, his entire career after, what was he in? Wasn't he in Outsiders or something like that?
I don't remember.
E.T., something like that?
Yeah.
He's a name I always associate with career stalling and never ever
never ever
coming back on again.
Yeah, like Jonathan Richman. This is when it comes to plateauing early, I think Jonathan Richman kind of released one terrific album, stagnated after that, done nothing.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I've seen Jonathan Richman twice. And his role in There's Something About Mary was totally hilarious just because he's Jonathan Richman. They got Jonathan Richman to play some guitar guy and There's Something About Mary. But yeah, when I think of plateauing early, I think of him.
Oh, I would argue. But
okay. We shouldn't stray too far from the Trevor Horn. We played Dollar on a whim because I've never played it here on Craft from the Past. And I have another production job that Trevor Horn did right here. I'm sure you've heard this Tom Jones song.
Yep.
He produced the album The Lead and How to Swing It in 1994, and Tom Jones released, in my opinion, the best single of 1994, bar none. Best single of the entire year, and odds are you've never heard it. It kills on a dance floor.
Yes.
Back when I was doing live stuff, and I would drop things in a heartbeat to go back to doing live stuff, but I'm going to play for you If I Only Knew from Tom Jones. Anything to add there?
Not much, actually, to add to this. Lowell Cream, I think, was involved with this, too.
Yeah, Cream, Godley, Kevin Godley, I believe, is on here. Bruce Woolley's. Perfect, the Bruce Woolley's on here.
Right.
Okay, so
Bruce Woolley is kind of like Trevor Horn. You know, I don't know, there must be some kind of like long-standing debt between these two, because everything Trevor Horn does, there's Bruce Woolley. Everything.
Well, we'll explain things in a couple of minutes. I'll be playing you a Tom Jones song produced by Trevor Horn. And
has anyone ever mentioned how you look kind of like Trevor Horn?
No, I have no idea what Trevor Horn looks like.
You look like Trevor Horn.
Somebody this afternoon was suggesting that I should dress up as Trevor Horn for Halloween.
Really?
I think that's the strangest thing I've ever heard.
Well,
two people in the
day.
Same day. I have no idea what Trevor Horn looks like.
You look like Trevor Horn.
What is a lucky bastard. So, Tom Jones from 1994 on Crap from the Past.
Yeah!
Make you happy, to make you happy.
think you love me. I bared my soul to the golden traces, went to the forest of the holy places.
Boogie Monster Gerber.
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine, you're so fine, you blow my mind, hey, Mickey.
On Crap from the Past.
I heard you want to watch back in 52. Thought it would wake and turn me to hang on.
I heard you want to watch back in 52. Lying awake and gently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through. They took the credit for your second symphony, written by machine and technology. And now I understand the problems you could see. Heart.
Video killed the radio star, but it's recorded by Bruce Willey and the Camera Club, a band I'm sure you've never heard of. Well, you've heard of course, because you know everything. I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. Oops, you're listening to Fresh Air Radio, KFA 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106.7 FM St. Paul. I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber.
And I'm Danger Man.
And he's kind enough to sit in with me tonight, and this is Crap from the Past here on KFAI. Something you'd like to hear? Now you have two musical geniuses to ask questions of.
On our historic first meeting. That's right, the secret origin issue. Here it is. They first met.
It's like particle and anti-particle here in the same room. It's like electricity. 612-341-0980. We'd be thrilled. We'd be beyond thrilled to take phone calls at this
point. That's right.
We've been talking about Trevor Horn and the Buggles. Trevor Horn was actually a member of the Buggles, and Trevor Horn looks like me, apparently, since I've never seen the guy.
So if anybody out there is wondering what Ron Boogie Monster Gerber looks like, he looks like Trevor Horn.
Thinning hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I look just like him. So Trevor Horn was a member of the Buggles. Trevor Horn co-wrote Video Killed the Radio Star.
And then, yep, and then what happened? Can I go off
a little
sideline
please
here?
Please do.
What happened is the Buggles come out with their album Age of Plastic. Then they get the offer to join Yes, and they go and join Yes for one tour and the one album, Drama.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare of drugs, booze, sex, craziness, and everything that makes rock and roll great.
And the album is terrible.
But the Buggles couldn't
on top
take
of
that. It. Yeah. Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah.
And so what happens is they retreat, and go back to the Buggles and come out with the Adventures in Modern Recording album, again, pulling their buddy Bruce Woolley. And Bruce Woolley is like on everything that Trevor Horn does. Everything.
I think that's pretty neat. He was on the Tom Jones record.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's like, you know, there's got to be some kind of debt, like I say, you know, gambling, moral, otherwise. I don't know what it is, but
I'd like to think it's a little more benevolent than that, and that he just likes working with them.
Yeah. They're probably old friends and stuff, worked with each other for years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was 15 years between Video Killed the Radio Star and If I Only Knew, so they've worked with each other forever.
I wonder if he showed up on the Seal stuff.
Oh, I'm sure. There's like a gazillion musicians on the Seal albums. Yeah. All of them strictly anonymous. You'll never see any of them playing any of the instruments.
And I know the one solo thing that Bruce Woolley did too, apart from Trevor Horn, was the Grace. I think he did the Grace Slick, I'm Not Perfect, But I'm Perfect for You. I think that was a Bruce Woolley.
Oh, okay. Not the strongest record.
No.
No, but we won't be. I have it, but I won't be
I
playing
do too.
That tonight. Not a good song. But anyway, getting back to Video Killed the Radio Star, it is August. Well, yesterday, as of about an hour ago, was August 1st, 18-year anniversary of MTV. It's amazing how quickly MTV became irrelevant. But back then, back in the day, it was the only place you could see videos.
Mm-hmm.
I missed out because I never had cable growing up, and I missed all the videos.
Now all you get is Real World, 24/7.
I don't even have MTV now.
Oh,
I've
lucky.
Seen Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer, and that's it. That's pretty much the only video I've ever seen.
You never seen any of the ABC videos?
No.
Well, of course not, because then you'd know what Trevor Horn looks like.
Oh, probably. Yeah, I've never seen Mantrap. I've never seen any of that stuff.
Oh, my God. I'll bring in the tapes for you.
But we can't play them on the air. So.
No, but you can play them in the comfort of your own home.
I'm sure Mrs. Crap would love that. getting back to, let me wrap up the Video Killed the Radio Star thing real fast. Written by three guys, Trevor Horn, Jeff Downs, Bruce Woolley. You just described Jeff Downs and Trevor Horn. They went off to do stuff with Yes. They recorded their Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles, which is their band. Bruce Woolley took the song for himself and recorded his own version roughly at the same time of the Buggles. Thomas Dolby, a member of Bruce Woolley's Camera Club, just for those keeping score at home. So Thomas Dolby was on that song you just heard there. And what you just heard there was Bruce Woolley and the Camera Club and their own version of Video Killed the Radio Star. Long-winded explanations tonight on Crap from the Past.
You know, this reminds me, I also brought Asia along, too. Asia, Jeff Downs.
Oh, okay. We'll pass on the Asia.
That's all right.
Which, did you bring the first one?
Oh, no, Don't Cry.
Oh, God.
Hey,
okay, we'll see if
the show is called Crap from the Past.
It is. Man, I'm glad you didn't bring in the new Asia, you know, the stuff they recorded in the 90s. Just plain awful.
Well, you know, the problem with that is that's like pure Jeff Downs. It's like he decided to keep carrying the torch
and just
wanking off in his little art rock corner.
Man, it's like Emerson, Lincoln, Powell. What's the point? What's the point, I says. Yeah, Asia. Oh, boy.
Well, the dry ice industry needs them, you know, so they can go out on tour, have the dry ice filling the auditorium.
Yeah, we used to joke about the Asia album titles. First it was Asia, then Alpha, then Astra. We were joking, okay, what's coming next? Amoeba, anorexia. We had dozens of these things, and it's kind of sad. Okay, we'll play Don't Cry a little later on.
No, we don't have to. I'm kind of curious. You got a bunch of requests earlier.
I did. I think I've dealt with most of them. Let's see here. That's the official cheat sheet. Miko. I'll be playing some Miko next week. Blech. Mars, I did. Someday, Someway. Swept Away. No, I did that last week. John Oates. And I have something to look for at home. Thin Lizzy doing Wild Thing.
Oh.
Which I don't have.
I've never heard it either.
I'll see if I can dig up the Sam Kinison version, because that's pretty entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And what did I queue up here? Want to talk about Scritti Politti?
Sure. What do you want to talk about?
Not much. You said there's some new Scritti Politti out.
Yes. Tinseltown to the Boogie Down, 1999 copyright, and it is just cruddy. It's rap, pure rap for the most part, and then every once in a while, like I say, Green comes in to do his, yeah, girl, you know, still filter through the fair light. Or he's probably actually, you know, last time I saw him, he's got enough, what I'm kind of getting here a little bit, enough of this chin action going on,
you know,
where I think he's got his own portable fair light just tucked into a little fold of fat under his chin.
You know, maybe, so, maybe he really speaks like that. We walk up to him on the street, maybe he actually sounds like that.
Hey, girl. Hey, Miles Davis.
Exactly. He's played, he gets all these important people to play on his records. How is that? How does he do that?
They think that he's a musical genius. Maybe he's got the gift of gab or something, but...
Well, Cupid and Psyche 85 was work of musical genius.
A fantastic record.
Yeah. What followed was not so genius-like.
Yeah. There were high points. There's some on this record, but most of it's just lulls.
Yeah. What you're going to hear is the first single he released after the big hit album with Perfect Way. Great song.
Yeah.
The follow-up, Boom, There She was pretty much a carbon copy of Perfect Way, only a little bit slower.
Boom is exactly right. It was bust. It was completely bust for them after this point.
Yeah, and this is the last gasp of Skritti Puliti. So, Boom, There She Was, 1988, on Crap from the Past.
I gotta be the kid.
Boogie Monster Gerber.
Listening to pop music is a waste of time.
On Crap from the Past.
That swing that the Marshall Crenshaw song has.
That's right.
The swing is there in the Rocky Burnett song that you just heard. That was painfully absent in the Robert Gordon version of Someday, Someway. So, from 1980, Tired of Toeing the Line, and you brought it in, and it's a song I've been meaning to play for months here on the show. I just keep forgetting.
And I was going
to
play it when I graciously let me host the show.
But you forgot also?
Yes.
Yeah,
I can't
remember that song.
Yeah. Well, no, there was so much stuff to play that it's like, oh, who can, you know, that's going to make the cut? Oh, no. It's going to wait a while.
Oh, no. Just bring it all in and just like throw them all over the table and pick whatever's closest.
52 pickup.
Exactly. And that's what we're doing tonight, really. I had no particular playlist coming in. We've just been tossing around songs left and right, like Give It Up by Casey. Whew, man, stinky.
Oh, I love that one.
I have a soft spot for it, but it's a terrible record.
Oh, yeah. I think we're going to be like the Siskel and Ebert of crap from the past.
No, we agree on most things. Which
oh, yeah, I think so. I think so, too. And the disagreements are good, too.
What did I queue up? Do you have any idea?
You queued up Balance, Breaking Away.
Breaking Away by Balance, yeah. You have to be a really hardcore radio listener to remember this at all. It came out in 1981. Band was led by Pepe Castro, who was a member of Blues Magoos. They had a song in 66 with We Ain't Got Nothing Yet, something like that. So if that means anything to anybody, it probably won't out there. But
well, it might mean something to someone somewhere.
to Pepe Castro himself, if he's listening tonight. So he attempted a big comeback. He was signed to Portrait Records. Portrait was sort of up and coming at the time. They had Cyndi Lauper. They had Eddie Grant, Aldo Nova. They were kind of edgy at the time, and they also had Balance, which lost a considerable amount of money for them, I'm sure. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just... Go ahead.
Yeah, the song was, I think, almost a top 20 hit, but...
I think it did go top 20, didn't it?
I don't know. Look it up. Is it listed there? It's listed in my little cheat sheet there.
Okay,
let me take a look. For those of you who think that I know everything, no. I know it at one point, and then I write it down, and it's all written down in little cheat sheets for me.
It's so strange, because I always think that... Because they play it on the radio a lot. Let's see. Number 22.
It got as high as number 22 in 1981. So not a big-ish hit, and one you probably... Well, if you were listening to the radio in 1981, you may or may not remember it. Otherwise, this is totally new to you, and if you haven't heard the song since then, it hasn't aged too well.
Ooh,
this is
going to
be an
unpleasant
experience, I think, for you. So, from the album Balance, here is the group Balance and Breaking Away. Oy vey. So, this is Crap from the Past. You're listening to Fresh Air Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis, and 106.7 FM St. Paul. Balance from 1981, Breaking Away. It doesn't sound so good after all these years, does it?
Oh, no, it still sounds great to me. No. It really does. It still sounds great. I still love that song.
I do, too. My friends made fun of me a lot for liking that song.
Every one of them is like a badge of honor.
Yeah, that Sausalito Summer Night by Diesel.
Yeah.
I took all kinds of abuse for liking a group named Diesel.
Well, I remember, you know, I don't know if I told the story on the air when we did the show or not, but I know I've told the story.
Well, tell it again, because I haven't heard
it. I'll tell it again. Here it is that I remember walking in, I remember loving disco music so much when I was like a teenager, and I remember the first time I heard La Freak was playing in a high school auditorium. The cheerleaders were practicing to it. That had nothing to do with why I liked the song. but I'm standing outside the school, and I hear that... Ah, Freak Out. It's coming through the entire school.
Wow.
The auditorium is like a half a block away. I can hear it coming through the entire building. I'm standing on the street outside, and I felt like the voice of God was yelling down at me from on high.
Telling you to freak out.
Freak out. And I did. I freaked out. I had to run and find out what that record was, and I found out it was La Freak by Chic. There was no turning back.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, and I was going to say, and then... 2 years down the road or a year down the road, what happens is I'm in the living room. I'm listening to Good Times by Chic, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason I say, even though my mom knows I love the song, I say, you know, I hate disco music. My mom says to me, that's not true. You love disco music. And I said, you know what? You're right, I do. From that point on, no looking back.
No looking back. Yeah, no looking back. Once you've gone over to the dark side, you can't go back. And I admit I grew up on the dark side. I grew up in New York City, which I've talked about a little bit on the air. I was born in 68, and I started listening to the first 45s I ever bought. A monumental occasion in my life, late 1978, I bought YMCA and Le Freak.
Wow.
I bought Casablanca Records and Atlantic Records. I still have those 45s at home. They're beat up, so I have a couple copies now. But that's what got me introduced to the pop music world. And all you heard in New York City growing up was disco. 92 KTU was big. Paco was on the air. He'd come on, disco, disco, disco. This is Paco, 92 KTU. And then he did some jail time in the 80s, and I guess he's back on the air now.
Well, didn't everybody do jail time in the 80s?
Especially New York DJs.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially somebody who's a New York DJ or in the New York clubs.
Oh,
I'd imagine they had plenty of jail time.
Well, yeah, I was 12 when all that happened, so it went way past me. I didn't get any of that.
Yeah, and I'm born 63, so I was like, you know, a teenager. It was all, you know.
You could actually go to the clubs back when it was cool.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty slick.
Well, as a matter of fact, the first concert I ever saw in a club was ABC.
You saw ABC?
In concert, yeah, at First Avenue.
Really?
Yeah.
What year? Because I have a live.
1982.
I have live ABC in here.
Do you?
You ever heard it?
Yeah, which one is it? Well, maybe.
I got The Look of Love and I got
I've got
Poison
it.
Poison Arrow.
Yep, got it. It's from the B-side of the Look of Love 90-12 inch, right?
Ooh, no, I got it off some Japanese disc.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, some Japanese.
Oh, well. I got the 12 inch.
Wow, we'll compare notes later on.
Okay.
One of the songs
Japanese
is...
Japanese 12 inch or Japanese CD, huh?
They spelled, they spelled, it's from... the suburbs of Alphabet City is what they called it. It's just outtakes, but it's 12-inch versions, and they spelled suburbs wrong, which I thought was kind of cute.
S-U-B-B?
They put an E in there. It's not supposed to be in there. So, yeah, so our perspective's a little bit different on the music because turns out, 6 years older than I am.
Yeah, but you know what? Doesn't matter. I think our perspective is actually dead on target.
And I should add, as a footnote, it was only years later that I found out that disco... You know, disco sucks. I had no idea at the time because I was 12 and that was it. That was what you heard on the radio. And I've been trying to dig up a lot of the old 12 inches that I heard back then, and they're hard to come by out here.
And see, I grew up in North Dakota. And so, I mean, you're in New York City, I'm in North Dakota. New York City, it's nothing but disco. North Dakota, it's like, what the hell are you listening to now?
Yeah.
Get that disco.
Turn that disco crap off. Oh, yeah.
You know, they don't even wait for the record to get off the turntable before they start using it for target practice. You
oh,
know,
man, yeah. There,
you know, gun racks in back. Boom, it's out it goes.
Funny you should mention that. There was a promotion I did back in college. Back when our school radio station was emptying out the vaults, just the crap we wanted, we had stuff that we wanted to get rid of. It was worthless. So we had Record Smash 88, which worked out nicely. That was the year. Those were 88.5. It was our call numbers. And for a quarter, you got to use some tools that were provided by the station to smash an album of your choice.
Oh, wow.
And we had a huge stack of records to pick from. People picked things that looked a lot like Barry Manilow records and then smashed them with a hammer and cut them up with some tin snips. That was a good time.
Oh,
I got in a lot of trouble for that because
really?
It was impossible to clean up. We had these vinyl shards all over the mall for months. I'd say 2 years afterwards, you could still find little pieces of record on the
Where
grass.
Where was the mall at? Where was
oh, no, this is at University of Rochester.
Oh, okay.
Upstate New York. Now, that was a good time. I've learned don't do that.
Was there anything good at all in the pile of records that got killed?
No. I saved everything that was good.
Beautiful.
Well, I went through them a couple of times. I had other people go through them. Just stuff that nobody wanted, we destroyed. And it felt
cool.
Pretty good. Yeah, I was tempted to charge people like $5 to destroy a really good album. But we didn't actually do that. It would have broken my heart. So we've been talking a while.
Yeah.
You brought in this 45 from Quincy Jones, which
That's
is an outstanding
right.
record. I Know Corrida, and they give the little phonetic pronunciation here. I think it means there's no escape or something like that
yes.
in some foreign language. Here, check the writer's credits, which you probably never noticed before.
Certainly will. Writer's credit. Hey, Chaz Jankel.
There you go.
And Kenny Young.
I don't know Kenny Young, but you know.
Chaz Jankel, yeah.
And he worked with Ian Dury and the Blockheads.
Yeah.
And probably some other bands that I don't know about.
Wow.
So Chaz Jankel. Turns out the song that you're holding in your hand right there is a remake.
It's a cover version.
Yes. So you've heard I Know Corrida by Quincy Jones because
yes.
Well, you own it. And it's a fantastic record and one that I used to hear at high school dances and stuff and stuff I enjoy. Turns out the song is a remake. Chaz Jankel himself released a single also on A&M Records in 1980. So it's probably a couple of months before that came out.
Well, actually, this is 81.
Really? Oh, okay. So it's a year before. and you'll notice the similarities. It's a note-for-note remake that Quincy Jones did of the original Chaz Jankel tune, which I will play for you here in its entirety. Chaz Jankel from 1980, I Know Corita, on Crap from the Past.
Boogie Monster Gerber.
It's not rap music, it's crap music.
On Crap from the Past.
こちらは東京 FM。私、明るい藤本光也です。ところで今のは赤丸急上昇。9月だというのにまだまだしぶとい。I love you から始めよう。Bye 安全地帯。まだまだ本当に美味しいですね。さて、すでに後戻りはできないところまで来ています。続けて、続けて聴いてもらいたいチューンが、あのボンドベースのニュートラック、Don't Make Me Wait! どうぞ。
Boogie Monster Gerber.
Can we play more records tomorrow?
Yes.
On Crap from the Past.
It's a song, if you have that second Milli Vanilli album.
And who doesn't?
And who does? they sample Trans Europe Express by Kraftwerk, which you just heard here. It goes on for another 3 minutes, but I figure we can just talk over the end here, because well, who's going to notice? Kraftwerk from 1978. It's 3 years after Autobahn, and
discernible difference in sound.
No, not really. It's not like they evolved at all. It's a cool
but
sounding.
It's good. It's always been great.
Yeah, as a single, it got as high as number 67 on the charts. And
did it?
In the summer of 78. Yeah, Who knew?
Well, who's playing it?
Exactly.
I mean, I'm amazed it got that high.
The same people who played all 22 minutes of Autobahn probably thought, ooh, new Kraftwerk, and played it.
I remember having the single of Pocket Calculator.
Green.
Yeah.
You had the green 45. Yeah. That's worth some money now.
Is it?
I've seen that for going for prices I can't mention on the air, but
okay.
It's some big bucks for you.
I can retire.
You can't retire. Oh. You can retire for about 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, that's all I need.
Well, you play the single once, then it's all over. You've blown the life savings there.
Shoot.
What were we talking about right before?
Oh, so many things.
Mind is a blank here. It's been a nonstop conversation, and that's why I sound a little unprepared tonight, because it's been fun. It's nice having somebody in here who knows the music, and we talk, and it's good. So I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. In case you're just tuning in, I'm sitting in with Danger Man tonight, who does Friday Night Poker Party. Fridays 10:30
to midnight. 10:30 to midnight here on KFAI.
And they do a very good job, but the feel is a little bit different than here at Grab from the
Past. Yeah, a little bit. But, I was thinking about it earlier today, too. Let's give another shout out to Chuck and Joel, because I was listening to Cosmic Slop today, and it was an excellent show.
Yeah, they were on today. I was listening
they
as well.
Completely on. And
I wish I had a better time slot like them. It's not fair.
Well,
not on
be
this
careful
station.
What you wish for, because they might put you on, you know, Sundays from, you know, 3 to 5 or 3 to 6, and then you'd be right up against
I'm
them.
Not going to compete with those guys. That'd be ridiculous, because I like their show too much. No, I'm a big fan of Cosmic Slop, as regular listeners know, and if you're fans of the pop music stuff, especially the 70s, you should definitely tune in to Chuck and Joel Sunday afternoons at 3 on AM 770 Radio K. And they do the finest 70s show I've ever heard anywhere.
Ever.
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 I mean, their 70s show is better than actual 70s radio.
Oh, yeah. Their 70s. It's better than the 70s. If you lived through the 70s, it's better than the decade actually was.
Because there isn't really much that came out of the 70s that was good. You know, you had disco music and Star Wars. What else is there?
No, I can't think of anything. No, that popcorn song by Hot Butter, that was good. That sums up the whole decade right there.
And the start of a lot of pop synthesizer music, like Kraftwerk and things like that.
That's true. That's not bad.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that it's aged particularly well, but it's neat
Without
to hear now.
Without your Kraftwerk, where would your Human League be?
That's true.
Where would you have all your synth bands?
We used to joke about the art of noise unplugged. And you'd see some guy sitting there by a screen, and he'd just be looking around, total silence.
I remember going to see Art of Noise in concert.
What, you saw the Art of Noise live?
Yeah. Yeah, and somebody actually had the nerve to say, I can't believe it. It just sounded like a bunch of computers. It's like, what do you expect?
Duh. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
What were they like live? Did they have kind of stage presence?
Oh, yeah, they were really great. I thought they were great. There were people, I mean, that was the crowd. The crowd who thought, well, they're just standing in front of computers. And then there's the part of me who thought, cool, they got the computers. They got a Fairlight on stage. Bring out the Fairlight.
I'm going to have to chew on this tonight, the Art of Noise live.
Yeah, it was great. Okay. It was great.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, it was like the night before. Before the Art of Noise was live, the Cramps played First Avenue.
That's a little bit different.
Yeah. Cramps one night, then Art of Noise the next, and I've still got my Art of Noise concert tee.
You got a concert t-shirt from the Art of Noise?
You bet I do.
This is, okay, first there's absurd, and then there's way beyond absurd, and you're there.
I'm there,
my friend. Wow.
I've still got my ABC concert tee, too.
That's ABC
and
Live is just as rare, I think.
Got Stephen Singleton's autograph, as a matter of fact. I ran Stephen Singleton, the sax player for ABC, mm-hmm. on that first record and second record. Then he had the common sense to leave the group.
Yeah, quit while the, yeah.
Get while the getting's good, and then they replace him with, what, Eden and some dwarf.
Yeah, that's
David
right.
Year or two.
That was a pointless era. That made no sense.
But, that was a great time for concerts.
That's good. I can't think of any. I saw a slew of bad shows that were sponsored by New York radio stations. I got in for free on some of those, which was quite the deal. So I saw people like Stevie B.
Oh, yeah.
Worst show I've ever seen. I saw Debbie Gibson. I saw Tiffany. I saw New Kids on the Block. Loudest show I've ever seen.
New Kids?
New Kids. They couldn't sing, so they just turned the volume up really loud.
Oh, boy.
Pretty sad, actually.
Step one.
Oh, stop
we
it.
We can have lots of fun.
You want to hear?
Step two.
I got some live New Kids in the
later.
Okay. Still have a whole 10 minutes left.
Oh, my Lord.
So
we could, you know, we could probably talk for the whole 10 minutes.
Chuck and Joel do. Now I'm finding out why they have 7-minute talk breaks.
Yeah.
It's easy.
It's easy.
You go off. And I found out, since I know those guys pretty well, they're not rehearsed at all. There is no scripting. They just, they talk whatever's off the top of their head. And eventually one of them looks at the timer and says, oh, look, 6 minutes, time to start a song.
It's the best way to do it. I always refer to our show as the most tightly scripted 90 minutes in radio. But of course, none of it's scripted. We're just blah, blah, blah.
No, I like that. That's good.
it's always, it can yield gems or it can yield fool's gold. But most of the time, it's gems, you know?
That's good. And if there's, if you can extract some gems from the big pile of crap on this show, more power to you.
I remember, actually, as long as we're talking concerts, too, I saw I saw Debbie Gibson, too, with Bros opening up for...
Bros?
Do you remember Bros?
When will I be famous?
Yeah.
Weren't. They did. To their credit, they had a string of British singles. They had probably five big hits in a row.
And wasn't one of the guys, Craig Leon, was at it, or Craig Armstrong?
I don't know.
Booted out of the group, and that's what actually, I think, if I remember right, drove them out of the charts, is that people were so upset. This guy got sick, he had to leave the group because of his illness, and then they replaced him, and people were so angry that they brought in this ringer and kind of like pushed the other guy aside that that was the end of them.
Whoa, no more Bros. Craig Leon, by the way, was the guy who produced I Wanna Go Back for Billy Satellite.
Really?
Yeah, there you go.
I must be thinking of Craig Armstrong then.
Yeah.
Perhaps, because it couldn't be Craig Leon.
It's nice. It's funny that you brought up that name. I just thought I would sort of draw a big circle around the whole show now. It's one unified thingy. Sums it up real well. Well, I queued up. Oh, the Corgis. Who are the Corgis?
The Corgis were a group that came out in the late 70s. They came out with two albums.
Mm-hmm.
There was one album before this. That it's like I don't really know who their audience was because it's like they were a poppier side of art rock, uh-huh. But art rock is definitely at times what they were. And who were they? I wish I could tell you. I know Trevor Horn actually produced a track for the Corgis. It's not on this record, but he produced right after this. He produced a thing for the Corgis.
Okay, I'm just trying to dig up some credits here and look for names I recognize. Bunch of synthesizer players.
Yeah, I don't think you'll recognize any of those names because I've gone over and over and over that like it's the Dead Sea Scrolls and I can't know anybody. But hey, I'm more than willing to turn your eye to it.
Many thanks to Peter Gabriel, and I don't think it's because Gabriel's on the record.
No.
I think it's because they like Peter Gabriel.
Well, I think he probably gave them, you know, $10 when they needed, some ramen noodles or something one time when they were struggling because this was their only hit, and I don't even think this was much of a hit for them.
This is a top 20 single. I remember it. I remember it very distinctly when it came out in 1980 because I was all over the radio, with my ears back then. I'll tell you what I know about them. I know nothing about them. They were signed to Asylum Records, and the single came out and disappeared.
I wish I knew more about them.
No, Chuck and Joel actually played this song on theirs in sort of the prog rock essence of things. They played it, and it's a real arty prog rock, and it was a top 20 single, but you're right, it didn't play to any particular audience.
It's a really quite pretty song in some ways, but again, it's who's the audience for it? Depressed teens? I mean,
I don't know. The album cover makes it look like British. how do you describe this?
The false Jackson Pollock type, pre-Stone Roses cover thing. Dumb Waiters is the album. It's actually a really not a bad pop record in some ways.
Okay, I'll play you the hit from the album Dumb Waiters from 1980. It's the Corgis. Everybody's got to learn sometime, and you heard it here. Well, you actually heard it first on Cosmic Slop, and now you heard it again.
And for God's sakes, people, keep the sleeping pills away from yourselves at this time. You'll overdose if you're listening to this, and you've got the tranquilizers there. This is like one of those, I always think of this as like a suicide record.
Oh, God. I brought in Tender Love by the Force MDs, which I think I'm going to play right after
this.
Hey, I'll put people to sleep for Glenn and Mandy's show. Won't that be fun? So, the Corgis on Crap from the Past.
Change your heart. Look around you. Change your heart. It will astound you. Sunshine. And everybody's gotta learn sometime. Everybody's gotta learn sometime. Everybody's gotta learn sometime. Around you.
You're right. This song is kind of sleepy.
Yeah.
It's kind of unfortunate, but that's, well, everybody's got to learn sometime.
That's right.
The Corgis. We know nothing about the band.
They had one hit. This is it.
And you just survived it. It goes on and on for another 9 minutes or something?
It seems like it.
Okay, well, we'll gently fade out. No one will miss the Corgis. Man, that is far and away the sleepiest song I've ever played on this show.
Yeah. It's so, like, low energy.
It's pretty, but I like it. But, so I got
you
one.
You
got
to play it at the last song, though. It's like prom or something. You know? Hey, everybody, go home.
Freebird. Freebird. So I'm not doing Freebird.
Ever, right? Ever. Never playing Freebird.
I've got that Will to Power version.
I was
going to
say.
Tears to your eyes.
I've got that Will to Power version, too.
That's a hideous record. I was just mad at the radio when that came out. That was the summer of 88 or 89, and I was working in the maintenance department of a large office building at the time. And I remember being up on the roof painting large ducts and vents and things, and hearing that freaking song on the air. It just made me mad.
Did you want to kick the radio over the edge, didn't it?
That happened
over
once.
The edge of the building.
That happened once. I had to get a new radio.
Look up below.
I honestly don't remember what the song was. I didn't do it intentionally. But if I had to pick one song that summer, that would have been it to make me smash something.
Wasn't it a medley, too? Baby, I Love Your Way with Freebird.
Yes.
Ugh.
Oh, like all these teeny boppers were really into the 70s at the times.
Yeah.
Piece of crap.
40-something record producers.
Yeah. Okay, so you're listening to Fresh Air Radio, KFAN 90.3 FM Minneapolis, 106.7 FM St. Paul. I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber.
And I'm Danger Man.
Danger Man, who is kind enough to sit in tonight. Danger Man is usually on Friday Night Poker Party. Fridays 10:30 to midnight.
Yep,
I
here
got
on
it, right?
KFAI.
And this was fun. You're going to have to come back.
Oh, I'd love to.
We barely touched the tip of the iceberg here. I didn't get to this Neil Schon Jan Hammer single. That's I have some bad Jan Hammer solo stuff that you're going to like.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh, man. And
This is pure, like, you know.
Product.
And it's pure, like, rock posturing.
Oh, yeah, it's the best. That works so well on this show. So we'll get to it. Just give me, like, 5 minutes warning. We'll have you back in anytime.
Thank you.
It makes this show a lot more interesting for me, too. So next week, I got nothing planned, and you'll hear more of the same next week, I promise. Except no corgis. I promise that. Let me leave you with something new. New stuff ripping off old stuff. I didn't have anything anyway, so that worked out nicely. For those of you who live and die by new stuff ripping off old stuff. Instead, I'm going to play you new stuff. Just plain new stuff, and you might have heard it on Universal Frequencies, which is the show coming up next. The name of the band is Komida. They're from Sweden, and there's something about Swedish pop that just makes me smile. So I'm going to play you a song that came out from their What Makes It Go album from 1998. We played it here on Universal Frequencies. That's the show coming up. Well, hey, if you're awake, listen to Universal Frequencies. Why go to sleep now? Stay up till 5.
Stay up.
And then go straight to work. That's the best way to do it. Don't get any sleep at all. I tried that once. It doesn't work.
Did you?
Okay, not the smartest thing I've ever done. But just to take you up until Glenn and Mandy take the airwaves in about 3 minutes, in about one minute ago. I'm sorry, Glenn and Mandy. I didn't realize I lost track of the
time.
I'll play you a song that you would have played anyway. So, Komida from Sweden, It's All Right, Baby. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week. Bye-bye.